and welcome to In-Game Chat for January 14th, 2009. We're the official podcast of ColonyOfGamers.com. You can check us out there. You can head over to InGameChat.net and see us over there, or email us, everyone, at InGameChat.net. Pretty easy stuff there. We got everybody back this week. We only did one show last week. We're really sorry for that. James is with us again. Jeremy is also with us tonight as well. James got sick.
Yeah, I was sick, man. I was like...
He had to work and he got sick, which,
I was like,
you know.
Spock in the warp chamber from the end of Star Trek 2, right?
Ugh.
Without even the benefit of having solved my own Kobayashi Maru scenario, I was just, you know, face-peeling ill. So, like, didn't even have anyone to pinch by the neck and transmit my Katra into.
All right, yeah. you weren't here last week, but this is the second... podcast in a row that Wrath of Khan has come up.
Really?
It came up in the...
What was Wrath of Khan doing here last week?
Well,
I love that fucking...
When we had Phil on, he talked about... I asked him, hey, what's your favorite memory from working at 1UP? And he mentioned one of the guys leaving. And when they left, he and a couple other guys...
That's kind of cynical.
...did a video parody of...
Oh, I see.
...that
okay.
send-off.
Not his actual leaving, but the...
No. Not his actual... Yeah, no. But, that's the second week we've referenced that. So I'm sure we will. It will now become tradition. Let's hope not.
It's not a bad tradition. You know, all sorts of stuff with Wrath of Khan. It's not quite as good as, or quotable as, you know, Back to the Future.
Right.
Or anything like that.
Right, which,
But it's nonetheless pretty good. So, yeah, I was totally out of it. And, being, you know, like... a three-legged dog now with Daniel in Texas, like, with me sick and, like, closing every day of the week at my place of employment, like, you know, it can be tough. Two people in a studio is very difficult.
Oh, that's when we had
film. When you're used to more people, so that's why we did what we did. I hope, like, hell, like, we'll be back to normal soon, because it feels really weird, like, I haven't been in the groove in a while, because the holidays fucked it all up, and then all this other stuff is doing pretty much the same thing. Over again, and I didn't even get to play anything. Like, it wasn't like...
That was what I was going into. You didn't play anything.
It wasn't even like, you know, like, I'm kind of contagious, so I'm just going to stay at home and sit on the couch. Like, it wasn't even like that. It was like, take a bunch of drugs so that I can get through work, come home and sleep until I have to work again. Like, you know, or not sleep, because there was, like, a lot of fever and face peeling, as I mentioned before. Not really. That's totally a joke. But there was a lot of fever, and it was really horrible. And the kind of thing where I'd, like, try to go play something and be like, I'm sick. I should play some video games. So I'd sit up and I'd play something, and then I'd, like, you know, get motion sick and feel like I was going to die. I was like, oh, it's not a particularly good idea.
I don't, that's the worst, because it's like when you get sick and you don't have to, let's say you call in sick at work, but when you're sick enough that you just can't sit there and actually play anything.
Play something, yeah.
It's even worse.
Yeah,
it's like, man.
What a waste of being sick.
I'm legitimate. Exactly.
Man, what the hell? It wasn't very productive at all. It was like the most unproductive sick I've had in an awful long time. So I could at least eat. It wasn't anything stomach. That was really great. But the rest of it, to hell with it. You know, it was really bad.
Well, while you were out, Jeremy over there finished Metal Gear Solid 4.
Yes.
That's pretty cool, because we made a point of, like, sort of...
Yeah, you're like, you need to go play Metal Gear Solid 4.
Well, because I didn't have anybody talk to it, you know, talk about with it. Because, like, did you ever... You completed it.
Mm-hmm.
But, like...
We didn't talk about it, because
it was... way back then, and it was like, we don't know anybody else that's played it or anything, so... yeah, what'd you think?
I had a love-hate relationship with it.
All right, so it's a Metal Gear game.
Yeah. It's funny. I had similar feelings to when I played 2.
Yeah.
You know, there's aspects of the game that I absolutely hate and can't stand, and parts of it that I just had a blast with.
Well, did you play 3?
I tried to play 3. I couldn't get very far.
Yeah, you and I had the same reaction to 3. Like, I thought...
Like, this is gross.
Well, and it's a real shame, as I understand it, because it had possibly the best... narrative, superior even to the first one. Great ending, really good story, really
I've
good backstory.
I've heard people go on
and honestly, having played 4 now, you're as familiar with 3. I mean, there's nothing to be spoiled in 3.
Right.
4 essentially spoils 3.
Mm-hmm.
So, at least in any meaningful way. Yeah. Did you download, as a quick aside, did you download the Metal Gear Solid database?
Yeah, once shot Scott showed
I had to take him home. Yeah. I took him home after the Phil show, I think. Or no. Was it that Tuesday night or was it Phil's?
It was Tuesday night.
It was the Tuesday night. I took him home and I took in and saw his new TV and his setup and everything. And we sat, he turned the PS3 on and I sat down, and that's the first thing I did. I was like, let me get this for you.
Yeah.
I was like, you gotta get this. And he downloaded it and he looked through it.
I've never been in the PS3, the PSN store before.
Really?
Yeah. Which I hadn't even realized until he went in. I was like, oh, hey, I've never done this.
It's much improved over what it used to be.
Oh, yeah?
It was a real piece of shit. Like, you know, a year,
I enjoyed
year and a
half
what
ago. I saw. It was
no, it's actually quite, nice now. So. It's a much better interface than the marketplace, in my opinion. But yeah, regardless of that, so you did get that, and it's so everything that you never saw is completely available to you in a way that actually makes sense.
Yeah,
because it was condensed and threaded and written in such a way that rational people could understand it. You know.
Yeah.
So that's really cool. I had a much more positive experience with it as compared to two from the outset, but I didn't feel sucker punched.
Right.
That was the whole problem with 2.
Right.
Looking back on 2, I consider 2 to be really, really great. Obviously, the characterization of Raiden was terrible.
Mm-hmm.
Not as a dude, necessarily, but just his characterization, which was, like, completely done away with in 4. Like, he was actually a very... He was what he needed to be, I guess.
Yeah, I actually liked the Raiden character probably about 90% of the time.
Yeah.
Except when, towards the end, he had a really bad emo moment.
Yeah.
And I really...
Which one? Which one was it?
Is the one where he's sitting on the bed?
I think so.
Because to my mind, the worst of his moments is, like, squelched entirely by... so much of what else is going on in other places. So.
Yeah, he made up for it, but there was a particular scene where I absolutely couldn't stand him. I was like, oh yeah, there's the guy I remember from 2. But it was brief. So.
Well, and like you know, to his credit, no, I could be somewhat sympathetic, somewhat, because of the whole. Look, spoiler warning, I'm sorry. Statute of Limitations is well and truly out. It's an 8-month-old game. I'm going to talk about...
On a system that not everybody has.
Yeah, like, I know, but, like... I'm sorry, I got to do it. Just so we can have a meaningful conversation.
All right.
And then the first game, everything's fine. Like, I mean, shit was going crazy, but whatever. He was just emo from the get-go. My suit's too tight. Like, that's essentially the first conversation he has with anybody, is how his suit's too tight. And it's like, all right, well, we're not going anywhere good with this. And this one, it's basically like, look, you've got all this really horrible shit to do, and you're going to have to talk to your girlfriend that's sleeping with this old man now. Like, you know, your girlfriend married this old guy, and you have to deal with it, like, all the time. And they're going to rub it in your face all the time. So the fact that he was a little bit, you know, on edge, I was like, okay, I can feel you. I would probably, like, do some of that whack ninja shit you did to the things with the legs. Like, you know, I don't think I'd be quite so collected if I was in a position. So I thought he was actually perfectly fine. You know, snake pussied out, but, like, what are you going to do? Like, blame that on stuff that was outside of his control. You know, and like
the ending,
yeah,
oh,
and like
man.
the whole ending kind of pussied
my
out.
God, yeah,
and I just didn't, I really didn't care anymore because the point at which
the after credits bonus ending sequence was longer than most games' ending sequence.
I do,
and I was at a point in the game where I was like, okay, I kind of grasp, you know, everything that's going on here. I feel pretty good, and then. Fucking big boss shows up and says a bunch of shit. I'm like, I have no idea what the fuck's going on anymore.
It felt like Return of the King. It was just like, it's going to end here. Nope.
Well, and then it's like, and then here. There's the inevitable post-ending. The post-postscript, which only takes place over, like, Kodak.
Yeah.
Where you essentially hear Snake and Otacon walking off into the sunset together. And I guess the only thing that bothered me was not so much that's what the ending did. But in media and in popular discussion of the game, everything referenced the undeniable finality of this game. Mm-hmm. Like that, you know, this is truly Snake's End, and like they really did deal with it and everything. And I'm like, no, they didn't. Did you just... Maybe if you turned the machine off, like after, you know, I don't know. Maybe at some point if you died while playing the game and you turned the machine off, that explanation like holds water.
But I thought that explanation was coming as I was crawling through the microwave.
Man,
I thought, okay,
which
this.
I gotta say, is probably one of my favorite moments in gaming history ever.
Yeah.
Not so much because of what I was doing, although it was like, it was a bit more than the torture sequence in one, mm-hmm. where you had to like hit the button and hold out. Like that was tough, mm-hmm. but like crawling through the thing, like that was a lot of button pushing. And I swear to God, I did not realize it was possible to dramatize someone being so completely beat to shit.
Yeah.
As Snake was in that game. Like by the end of the game, I was like, would somebody please just put this guy out of his misery? He is old. He's got a cough. Sometimes there's blood that comes up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like his suit's falling apart and like he's just all beat to shit and he's got bandages and like he's not okay.
At the time we had Hader on, I didn't understand what he meant by that comment. Because Hader made a comment when we were talking to him.
I don't remember.
Way back when he was talking about, yeah, especially what we put him through in this one. I won't say anything.
Oh, yes. No, I do remember.
Yeah, he was talking about all the God.
Yeah. They really put him through the ringer. And like,
well, you know,
that.
Going back to one, there was a comment in the first game where he said something about, you know, he lived by himself in fucking Alaska. He was a hermit, you know.
Yeah.
He didn't have any human interaction with people because he didn't get along with people. Like, he said, the only time I feel alive is on the battlefield. Like, that's the only time his life had any meaning. So, like, I've been wanting him to fucking buy it.
Yeah.
Practically since the first game. Because I'm like, guy's a fucking hero. Now he's got to go, like, be miserable again.
Yeah.
The only like, fitting ending for the character, for me, for years, has been to die in battle.
Yeah.
Or at least death. So now, at least, death is on the horizon.
I don't buy it.
And yet we're going to be spoiling the whole way through, so.
I don't buy it. No, I'm sorry. I'm not even sure I want to buy it, but yeah, I just know that he was beat absolutely to hell. I thought that they pulled like really weird and unnecessary reversals with some of the characters.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a majority of them.
Now, I'll tell you one thing that really, really pissed me off was dropping the accents for Naomi and Mei Ling.
Yeah.
And I know that was like a Kojima decision, and he did it in Twin Snakes on the GameCube.
I didn't like either one of those characters as they were portrayed in this game at all anyway. I didn't care for either one of them.
But like to me, those characters sound like they sound in Metal Gear Solid 1. And I'm sorry, you know, Kojima, if that's what you didn't want, that's not how you had it in your head that they should be portrayed, but, well, then maybe you should have been involved more in the localization.
Yeah.
But I don't think you should just go back and pull a special edition on us and then make the new canon. Oh, this is what they really sound like.
Yeah, right.
Because that was my experience. That was personal to me, and that's who those characters are.
I don't
really know who this Naomi and Mei Ling are.
I'm not sure the accents would have helped at all.
Yeah.
Maybe with Naomi, like she's flighty and sort of like imprecise emotionally as she always was, mm-hmm. you know, and like really questionable and like has snakes in her head, like she always did. Mei Ling was fucking useless in this game. She's totally fucking useless. But whatever, you know. Like, what? I mean, what was the explanation? She like fucked some old admiral, and now she's in charge of the Missouri. Like, is that? That's basically what they said, right? Or I just make that up in my head.
I don't remember that exactly.
Yeah, that's pretty much
what happened.
Was it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, all right.
It was retarded. But I mean, the rest of it on the whole is like, it was pretty good. I liked the boss battles.
Boss battles were great.
The creepy hot chicks. You know, with the, like, mm-hmm. the slimy clothes and the various whatnots that they were wearing.
Particularly the mantis battle. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That was great. I didn't in this game call my support until I got to Shadow Moses Island.
Oh, yeah?
Because I was like, oh, my God, I got to see what Otacon has to say about this room and then this room and then the next room. Mm-hmm. Every time I went to a new room, I had to call Otacon and talk about, hey, you remember when we were here last time? Like, reminiscing with an old buddy, you know?
That was a really special segment of the game. Like,
yeah.
That was... And it's funny. The most striking thing about that segment to me was, like, without all of the sort of... without all of the barriers
mm-hmm.
between where you're inserted and where you have to go, it's like, now wait a minute. I just walked through here and I shot some stuff, and then I sort of went under this door and then this other door, and then there's these two other things, and then I went over here.
Mm-hmm.
That took me like 9 fucking hours in the first game.
Yeah.
One thing I thought was great was I finally understood some of the teasers we saw about when Otacon called Snake Ops, time to change disc.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, it's on Blu-ray now. It's only one disc.
That
always seems so strange because I was like, last two games have been on one disc. But he calls you
at the exact point
where you
have to
change disc in MGS1.
Yeah. I was like, oh. Well, because everybody
now that makes sense.
Everybody wanted to read that as a dig against the 360 for some reason, like, and I didn't understand that, but again, when I got to that point, I was like, no, man, this is a dig at the PlayStation.
Right, right.
You know, it was very cool. I thought all of that stuff was very, very cool. I thought they did a magnificent job with that
now,
entire segment.
What, you gotta talk about the Mantis fight, because did you call your support guys during the Mantis fight? What all did you do? Because there's so much shit that can be said and happen there.
No.
No?
What happened in the fight? Refresh my memory, because it's the only one I remember really. Is it the first one?
No, it's the last one.
Is it the last one?
Yeah.
Who was the first one? What was
first one was
the octopus.
The octopus, yes.
Shit, I honestly can't remember it very well. I remember very clearly the wolf.
Okay.
Oh wait, yeah. Mantis, you're in that room.
Yeah.
You're in the room, and
which room?
I keep wanting to call it Arsenal Gear, but they've given a different name in 4.
And he controls.
Oh, Jesus Christ! Now I remember.
Yeah.
No, I didn't. I'm not sure how I did that.
I'm sure there was real vague.
I did something that didn't make sense, and then later when I looked up after I had beaten everything, I was doing subsequent playthroughs of the game, so I was. You know, reading strategy guides and stuff like that, I realized why what I had done worked.
Okay.
And I'm trying to remember precisely what it, but I mean, I shot the things with the dolls.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. But I can't remember exactly why I did what.
You didn't talk to your dudes?
Nope.
Okay. Well, the first thing I do is I call Otacon, and he's like, hey, Snake, he's like, changing your controller ports isn't going to work this time,
you know,
and talk about this. And so then I call the chick, you know. I didn't figure she's going to say anything, but, like, Campbell interrupts her, but, like, won't let me talk to her. He's like, Snake, Mantis can't stand to see his face, so find the bust and take the mask off, and Mantis will, you know, freak out or whatever. He's like, I can't do that. He's like, why not? He's like, there's no bust in here. He's like, oh. I guess you're going to have to do something else. I was like, that's excellent. That's great. It was one of the ways to defeat Psycho Mantis in 1.
Right, yeah.
Well, there was they did go through the whole, like, Mantis trying to, like, do the same old horse shit to you that he did in the first game, and it's not working.
I called her back to talk to Campbell again. He's like, Snake, plug your controller into controller port 2. And the chick's like, that's not going to work. He's like, why not? He's like, do you see any controller ports? He's like, just changing the controller ID isn't going to work. And he's like, oh. Well, I guess you're going to have to do something else.
The whole thing was a goddamn joke about the previous games, but it was okay.
So, I went ahead and I changed my controller ID anyway.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. And I couldn't move. And then I get a codec call. It's Otacon. He's like, and Snake's like, I can't move. And Otacon's like, what? What did you do? Did you change the controller ID? Snake, that's not going to work this time. Oh, I just loved it.
Yeah, I can't remember exactly. That fight actually wasn't too much of a pain in the ass.
You had much more fun with this, I think, than I did. I didn't think to call any.
I never did that on any of the games.
Through the game, I never even thought. I was like, if they want to talk to me, they'll just interrupt me while I'm playing and talk
to
me.
I did it all the way through MGS1. I had to hear what everybody had to say about everything. Not so much 2. And in 4, I didn't do it at all until I got to Shadow Moses. And I remembered, I should have been calling these assholes to tell me how to help out in that damn wolf fight that I had such a
wolf
hard
fight
time
was
with.
A bit of a pain in the ass.
Yeah, it was.
What
finally,
was the,
Otacon called me. He's like, use the sniper rifle. I'm like, that didn't help.
Yeah.
Can you be more specific? So, yeah.
What was the game that you had picked for your game of the year? when we were talking on our last full show? Do you remember what it was? Was it Fallout? No, it wasn't Fallout.
Fallout was mine.
Was it Fable?
No, it wasn't Fable.
GTA? The hell was it?
I don't know.
Why?
Well, because now that he finished up with MGS.
Oh, I would not put MGS.
I didn't know if maybe, you know, it's like, oh, wow, I, you know, should have played this then, but okay. That's what I was going to ask. Of course, now I'm stuck on what the hell you picked for your game. Damn it.
Hey, so, what did I go with?
Are you, you could play it, like, do a subsequent playthrough?
He already gave it back to me.
With any of the stuff? Mm-hmm. I played through it 3 times. And I mean, it was like the thing at the moment, so
yeah,
it was like
it's easier to go through once you've gotten all the dialogue. You don't have to listen to all that bullshit again.
Yeah. Well, and I was, you know, I was playing with the extra goofy stuff. Like I was playing with all the extra fun stuff, the suits and the gun porn and everything.
Yeah, that fucker needs an editor.
Yeah,
really, really badly, because there's he can't tell a story. He's terrible at the narrative.
Yeah, it wasn't really good.
Yeah.
It wasn't really good. The gameplay was pretty spread away.
I was up at like a little bit before 1 o'clock. I'm like, okay, it's about time for bed. I'm in the middle of this boss fight. Let me finish this boss fight. You know, boss fight took another 15, 20 minutes. But then there was a 45-minute cutscene after that I had to sit through.
Yeah.
So fuck you.
Well, I'm glad you finished. I'm glad you were able to at least be there and have an opinion about it. I'm pretty fond of it, but I can sort of see it for the disconnected mess that it is in some regards. I just thought that it was, like, it looked terrific.
Oh, yeah.
I loved all the weapons. The gameplay itself was actually a tremendous amount of fun.
Mm-hmm.
Thought it did a great job. I really hope it isn't the last we see of that, you know.
A lot of my enjoyment comes from my connection to those characters in that world and wanting to find out, you know, what happens to them, more about their background, how it started. Even though I have to sit through, like, 45 minutes of bullshit at a time to get out about 5 minutes of actual narrative. There's so much there, and I care about it so much that it was worth doing. So that's kind of where the love-hate thing comes in.
Well, that's cool. I mean, at least in that regard, in terms of where everybody is with each other, it's done.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's what it is. What else did you play?
Finished End War.
Yeah.
Which was just, you know.
So did you
like,
blow
hey,
up, did you
yay,
blow up you, Paris or something?
I did finally take Paris.
Yeah,
yes.
Good. I remember you talking
about
that.
But it was very anticlimactic. Once you take a certain number of cities, just like, okay, congratulations, you've won World War III. Let's roll the credits. Like, really?
Huh.
Okay, I guess. Thanks for, you know, stealing away any feeling of accomplishment there. But, you know, I kind of want it to be like Risk, where I take over the whole world.
Right.
You know? I don't know. Whatever. So that's done. Because I'm not going to do the multiplayer. And so I'm back on Uncharted now.
Okay, good.
I need to finish that up.
I didn't play much of anything. I've given up on Rise of the Argonauts. I'm tired of talking to people. I like fighting. I'm sorry. I got Hercules over here. My last fight was with Achilles, and I'm like, I got done with that fight, and it was fun. And then it takes you back into, okay, now go through the city again, talk to all these people, and, you know, do more quests. And I said, I don't want to do this. I don't want to keep doing this. So I've pretty much given up on that. And that's about it. I think I downloaded a few things from the PlayStation Network, but I haven't really played much of them. Cuboid I played, which is a little, you know, tiny arcade game. I think you can find a free version of it in Flash on online somewhere. Little puzzle game. That's all it is. $10. And something, Linger in Shadows.
Yeah.
I don't know what the hell that is.
Did you play it?
Not yet.
Okay. I was about to say, if you played it, don't know what the hell it is, then I'm definitely...
I saw a trailer for it, and I saw a trailer that looked like it was just, here's a concept of something we're working on. Which was, you probably haven't seen anything like this, I don't know. It's very hard to describe. Look that up. You've got your thing open. Go to YouTube and look up Linger in Shadows. And turn your sound off.
I think I might know what you're talking about.
It's weird. It's got this little octopus thing that floats around the city. And then
I know what it is. Dana and I looked at it.
There's this flying dog.
Yeah. We looked at it and we're like, what the fuck is this?
Exactly.
And we were like, man, this is cool. whatever the fuck it is.
Like, but apparently now there's an interactive thing to it. You can play around with that world. And so it's like $3. So I downloaded that. I haven't played that either. And so
of, not many bucks.
Yeah.
What the hell is it? That game that like took them 3 years to patch. Castle Crashers.
Oh God, yes.
It's getting DLC for like.
Yeah, that's our arcade release for this yeah. week. Is DLC for a game that was broken for a long time.
You know. It's $2. Like, that's, I mean, that's a perfect thing to do with, like, all that, like, leftover, you know, all the leftover points.
Yeah.
That you've got sitting around, you know, at the bottom of your live account somewhere.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to do that, I still want to go through it online now that I can.
Game, yeah.
I haven't even started it up to grab the patch for it, so I haven't done anything like that with it. I want to, though, to experience it, but... But yeah, that's God, I just played so very little. And I guess maybe there is, as far as new, I played the Skate 2 demo.
How is it? Do you care?
You don't need to ask me that question. I don't know. it's very short. It's a time demo, just like the first one was. I don't like them either. There's not much to do in there. Apparently, there's a lot to do, however, if you've got two people playing. Not online, but two people on the same console.
Yeah.
There's like the Hall of Meat or something like that. Which is basically how bad it's basically the Tycho referenced it, but the thing where you throw your Havoc physic person down the stairs to see how much injury you can do.
Yeah,
it's the same thing.
Oh, all right,
two people go at it, and you know you launch yourself off your board and how much damage you can inflict on your character. But I didn't get a chance to do that because it's only for two or more players on the same console.
That's disappointing.
The main career demo is like 5 minutes long. That's it. That's all you get with it. And you can replay that over and over again if you want to. But you only get 5 minutes with it, from what I understand. But the other two modes that are on there for multiplayer is completely. You can play ever how much of it you want. I don't know. Kevin really loves that game.
He loved the first one.
Yeah, and so I'm thinking
he's
going to...
He wasn't going to love the second one.
I'm thinking he's really going to love the second one. So I played it. And it's okay. I'll rent it because there's not much else that's there, and I got.
What's the release date?
Next week, the 23rd.
Yeah. Okay. Well, it's gonna be a short minute that there's nothing there.
Oh no, very short. I mean, I get the demo. Well, I get it. Yes, none of you get it. Just me. I get the demo of Halo Wars on February 5th. That comes out. So, which again, none of this is very far off. It's coming very soon. So. You got Street Fighter 4 due up. A couple other games coming out as well.
Yeah, Street Fighter 4 the middle of next month.
Killzone 2 demo's coming up.
Yeah, so. Don't know when. You can get codes with pre-orders now already. Hopefully it'll be less of a clusterfuck than it was with the, like, you know, previous, you know, download this demo when you pre-order the game type of things. Distribution models.
Right.
I'm really looking forward to that. I'm, you know... fairly shallow in terms of like what sorts of hype I'm willing to bite onto, and the operatic slow-mo death footage from Killzone 2 was really hot for me. Like that was really great to look at.
You know, I don't need the hype. I just need a game on my PS3 to play.
Yeah.
You know, if a AAA title's coming out on the PS3 by itself, you know, exclusively, I'm very excited. You don't have to hype me up other than that. That's all it needs. Hey, well, AAA title getting released.
Yeah,
it's only
but
on
I
PS3.
Mean, let's be fair. Like, calling it a AAA title before it actually gets anywhere and is released is hype.
Yeah, so, but it's one of the...
I mean, that's how you get there, you know?
Yeah.
Because I think Killzone, more than just about anything right now, needs some fucking hype. Because mm-hmm. all it's got is drag. It's got no lift. Nothing but drag from the old title.
Speaking of, I went into home and played with the Red Bull...
Did you?
Air race thing.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, boring as fuck. I didn't think you could make planes that, you know, do all these maneuvers and fly very
right,
fast.
Air racing.
Fly boring. Really, really slow and just make it boring.
Well, it fits in with the rest of home.
Apparently, they had to meet a certain criteria, and they met mm-hmm. it to be included into home. Oh, God, that's horrible. So,
Well, I'm looking forward to Killzone.
Yeah,
I'm awfully happy about the way that game looks. If it plays even pretty well, I think it'll be a good thing. I say that like I don't need it to be a very good game because it's as pretty as it obviously is. Mm-hmm. That's obviously not true, and it damn well better be a good game. Otherwise, like, you know, I don't know. I'm not sure anybody would. I don't think there's going to be that many people that'll bite on a Killzone 2. So, if it isn't good, I'm not sure there'll be anybody to bite on a Killzone 3. And it's, you know, it's already hurt. The game's already not going to sell enough copies. Because it's got drag from the first game, and it's an exclusive to the system that's in the Fios number forms.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know what to say about it other than I would really like for there to be a really great shooter on that system, something that'll deliver a little bit better than Resistance 2 did.
Here's what I'm hoping for the PS3, that it doesn't become the Metal Gear Drake's Fortune box or Uncharted box. You know what I'm saying? Where those aren't really like, because I mean, Metal Gear, we had a lot of fun with that, and Uncharted, we had a lot of fun with that. But I can't really name you much more.
You don't want it to become that?
I don't want it to become just that. I want it to have a lot more titles to its name as
you
far
know
as
how
I,
much I love it, but it already is that.
Yeah.
I mean, you said you don't want it to be just that. I would say that it already isn't more than that. Like, that's
what it is.
Easy
to
say that's what it is. Lots of potential completely squandered and more or less unused. I mean, I would say less. There's a lot going on with the system. There is a lot of benefits, but whatever.
However,
no sense in belaboring the point. Like, if there's some good titles on the system, if you want to put out some Little Big Planets, if you want to put out some Uncharted's, if you want to do Metal Gear Solid and occasionally hit me with something that I hope is really good, like Killzone 2, I'll eat it up. But I no longer feel like even my zealous support of the system is going to be, you know, just as from the consumer end of things, is going to help it at all.
Well, I have to be clear on this. This is for somebody that owns both systems, because if the PS3 is your
three people,
if the PS3 is your only system, then obviously it is much more to you than just those two games or whatever. I mean, it's that, it's GTA, it's Burnout, it's, you know, all these games, it's Fallout 3.
And I think it delivers really well in a multi-platform sense.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
There's a lot of not as well. I mean, you know, I think a lot of times the 360 will pull off a multi-platform title a bit better. Microsoft plays dirty and gets the DLC, and that matters.
Microsoft got the DLC for Tomb Raider.
It certainly matters for those of us that own both systems.
Yeah.
Yeah, Tomb Raider is looked at as a failure.
Well,
but they got the DLC for it.
Like that's another thing that I don't exactly understand right now. But I mean, just again on the PS3 thing, like a. You know, I mean, there's no sense in going back into any discussion about where one system relates to another, but it's just, they're in a lot of trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they can try to change perception about what the system offers all they want. I think it's been a brilliant system even when it was $600. I thought it was a great system. I thought that it was worth everything that was in the system. But it cost $600. Right now, you can buy a Wii, you know, for $250. Whether, you know, whatever, like why you'd want one, I don't exactly know. But and I'm not even slamming on the system. I'm just like, whatever. That's not what I would buy to play games. But you can get a fucking 360 for $200.
Yeah,
$200 fucking dollars. And you know, if you want to play games and all that other shit over there, it doesn't matter. Anyway. So I'm actually really kind of sad about the state of affairs. I wish it was. I don't know. I wish it was a little more vibrant. You know, I wish the back and forth was a little stronger than it actually is, but it sure doesn't seem that way. So regardless, I'm just going to play what I'm going to play over there. Like I bought Burnout finally, like a year later, but went down $20.
Doesn't really matter because they keep putting shit out for it.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it's one of those titles. So
really, like God damn, it's really still very fun and very pretty. Don't like the bikes.
Yeah,
I played with the bikes for a minute. And I was like, oh, okay, well that's great, but whatever.
Yeah, not a fan of the bikes either.
The crashes are totally unspectacular, which, you know, it's fine. It's a bike.
I wouldn't even consider it a crash. It's
yeah.
It's like you said, your bike falls over, and
yeah,
you get reset.
And your bike just sort of lays over.
Yeah,
and that's it. About it. They don't perform quite that well. They have no boost. They don't fit into any one of the performance profiles of the cars. Mm-hmm. So there's no real gain or loss in terms of how you play or anything like that. But the cars remain brilliant as ever. So that's stupendously fun, and I think it's really, like, I'm very satisfied to actually have it because there's a game I've liked so much for so long, I just never actually threw down the money for. And like $20, you know. So that was obviously like on that threshold of, below the threshold rather, of like something I really respect and like, but don't own, and it's below $20. That's yeah. That's almost a.
They released video of what the not the not DeLorean looks
right.
like in action. Yeah, and you know they showed the wheels, you know. Inverting and uh-huh. going into hover mode. I was wondering about that. I was like, is in hover mode, is it just going to be just like it is when you're on four wheels, except you're in the air? There's actually no sense of float, you know what I'm
yeah,
saying?
Like full yeah. coefficient of friction.
Like, yeah, exactly.
Or are you going to like be in a drift all the time?
Yeah, yeah. But no, actually the car, you know, banks.
Right.
Yeah. It actually, when it's swerving and turning and that sort of thing, it actually banks as if it were hovering.
That's fine.
So I'm glad they put that extra step in there. And they're going to release the ambulance, the Ecto-1 thing.
The kit
that's going to have the little lights in front of it. And apparently something else. I have no idea. It's got some other stuff, little secrets to it. I don't know.
Right.
I'm thinking Turbo Boost. You should jump anywhere, which would be nice. And then the I almost said Challenger. It's called the Bootlegger, but it's the General Lee from Dukes of Hazzard.
Right.
So when you jump, it plays the horn.
Brilliant. Sure, whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
I always need something to drive around, like, with, you know, I need a car game. I need to sometimes drive around with cars. That does it. That satisfies me. I think the game was way better on the PS3 than it was on the 360. So I was totally happy to support it there. I also picked up Battlefield. Like, I know I played the shit out of Bad Company, you know, last year.
Yeah.
But we'd gotten rid of the game, and, like, Dana never stopped being angry at me about that.
So you picked up Bad Company, or just...
Yeah.
Okay, that's all right.
Because yeah. also something else that went down to $20.
Yeah.
EA's post-Christmas, you know, price cuts all over the place. So I picked it up. Forgot what an astonishingly fun game that was.
Yeah. Like, single player?
No, I still haven't, like... One of the reasons I got it was that she played the single player and never quite got into the multiplayer.
You were opposite, and you played.
I had it in my GameFly queue for like 1,000 years, or like in my you know checked out queue, and like that's how we played it. And that was at a point in time when there was nothing coming out, so I was like, okay, I can let this game eat up a spot in my queue for 2 months, and I sent it back at a point right when she decided she wanted to play multiplayer, and right when I kind of wanted to play single player, but I had other things to do, so. I'd gotten it with the intention of going back into single player because I thought surely it's an Xbox game. The online player base, I mean, it's not Call of Duty 4, so certainly it's kind of dwindled down to that point where most multiplayer games go
mm-hmm.
after just a couple few months, and it hasn't. Like, I was like, well, I'm gonna check real quick. I'm gonna hop into an online match, do a quick match, ranked match. Get out there, see what's happening. If anything, how long it takes me to get into a match. And like.
Is this for the. Would you pick it up on PS3 or 360?
360.
Okay.
360.
I imagine there's a difference.
I instantly found what I was looking for. I mean, I was instantly in a match. The quality of the gameplay was just as high, if not higher, like, than what I remembered. Like, a very, very sincere amount of fun for me.
Mm-hmm.
I just totally forgot how much I liked that multiplayer. I mean, it was very frustrating in a lot of regards, but it was nice for me, because sometimes I like a real comfortable, you know, hip flask of a game that I can just always reach for, you know, and Call of Duty is that thing, but you get punished for leaving that game for too long. Your skill drops so low that you can't really compete.
Yeah.
And I like that it's not my only option. So I picked that up, and I played that some. That was just... I mean, I know both of those games are reaching way back, and I haven't gotten a chance to do any more of the things I really wanted to do. I'm within a stone's throw of the end of Fallout. I really just have to, like, pull the trigger on the last little bit of it.
Well, you might as well, because you're getting content, you know, later this month.
Well, I'm trying to investigate and to some degree explore every single location
You're doing what you do in these kinds of games.
Yeah.
Exactly.
But I'm...
What you specifically
I'm a little
do.
Bit... Yeah, I'm very close to done with it. Not in terms of, like, completing the storyline, but done from my own perspective.
Right.
You know what I mean? I'm like, I got a couple more things to do, a couple of the little disembodied single-serving stories that you can get in some of these locations, and then that's it. I'm done. Like, I'll definitely play the DLC, pay and play it, but yeah, I've spent a lot of time in there. I'm up close to 100 hours now, I think, and I'm at the point where I think I'd really just like to put the game to bed, and then sort of dip back into it for all the downloadable content stuff. But I'm kind of at the point with it where I was with Grand Theft Auto after a month.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, this has been the focus of my life.
Yeah.
In terms of gameplay, and I'm done now. Like, gotten everything I can out of it I'm done. So, just finish up those last couple of quests, I think. Put it to bed for the next couple of weeks. And,
maybe play some Prince of Persia?
Yeah, it's kind of hard to do that. Like, when I got other things.
And I know.
I got the whole game to go through. Just so... Dude, the only reason I'm going to play the damn thing is so I can figure out which one of you assholes I agree with about the ending. I have a great deal of respect for everything that was going on in the game, but there's plenty of other things going on elsewhere. I don't really feel the impulse to play this game. I don't really want to play this game. The only reason I'm playing it, or have said I'll play it, that'll probably turn out to be a lie. I'll probably just send it back to GameFly without telling it. So I can figure out the ending and where I come down. But if that doesn't happen in the next couple of weeks, then I promise you it ain't going to happen, because there's too much shit coming out.
Yeah.
Like, and I need to open up a hole in my GameFly queue, because, you know, despite, like, the completely ridiculous art style, you know, and, like, the, you know, the whatever, the giant boobies and crazy swords of X-Blades. Like, I mean, which is fine. I don't mean to belittle that sort of thing. Obviously, what the hell? Crazy swords and, you know, boobs all over the place. Like, I can't exactly find fault with that. Like, wherever it shows up, I can't. But I've always sort of learned to kind of move to the side of titles like that, because they don't really do anything for me.
Mm-hmm.
They're very... you know, it's like an exploitation kind of thing, and it's like, if that's what you like and if that's what you want to see, then obviously it's giving you what you want. But I've just never been able to distill the gameplay out of it. And I've read a couple of things out there on the internet where people who I respect have said, no, not so fast. Like, yeah, the boobs and the swords and the weird clothes and the craziness and the art style and all that shit, but I played the game, and like, I think you might want to check this out, you know. So, because you were lamenting the not enough killing going on in Rise of the Argonauts.
Yeah.
So, I mean, unless I completely misunderstood things, I think X-Blades is probably just some killing.
That's what I'd like out of Rise of the Argonauts.
Like some swords, some shit flying around, and some killing. Like, that's basically what I got, and I was like, I could kind of use that, because Fallout really complicated my life. Like, my gameplay has been an awful lot about concern, you know, over, like, I got weapons to repair and ammo to collect and holotapes to find and, like, moral decisions.
Well, Fallout's big. Fallout, like, I mean, they give
I'd
you...
I'd like something small, yeah. and just very decidedly...
Well, if you want small talky-talky, go to Rise of the Argonauts.
I don't want any... My point is... I would like to take a minute and not have any talky-talk.
More killy-kill.
Yeah, I would like for there to just... like, which is why I was very happy. I think that may have been the thing that sort of led me to finally, like, spend the money on my own copy of, like, Burnout and Bad Company.
Because they weren't Fallout. They were like,
yeah.
Hey, we're going to get some shit done.
Yeah, I have loved my Fallout, and I have spent an unbelievable amount of time. You know what I've done.
Yeah.
You know how I work. I have opened every... locker and desk. I've investigated every weird little hole where a copy of Pugilism Illustrated or, you know, the like may have been. Like, I've done it. I've investigated goddamn near every single thing in the Capital Wasteland. So I've got all but like two of the named weapons, you know. I've done it. I've played the game. And I'm very satisfied with it. Extremely.
That's good, because you're going to get to play some more of it later this month.
Yeah, well, and that won't... Jesus, that won't take long. That'll be a small thing. But the point is, I need a...
I'm going to remember this episode and bring it back to you whenever that hits, because I think it's going to be a lot bigger than just a small thing.
Yeah, but it won't be... It won't be a part of what we're doing. Unless I miss my guess entirely, there won't be any kind of... A, we're not seeing a level cap boost until March,
right?
Until the third of the three DLC, assuming they stick to their dates, March at the soonest, because this one takes place not only in Anchorage but also in the past. I'm assuming it's going to be very representative of the type of gameplay you faced in one of the quest segments of the game, where you were in a simulation. Like, so it is divorced entirely from the reality of the Capital Wasteland. I don't know how they're going to do the pit, but, that's going to be concurrent, but, like, in a completely different location.
How do you get there?
Yeah, exactly. Nobody knows, so it'll be divorced from what you're doing. The third one, however, may change things entirely. I would like to think that, you know... When they were initially talking about the size of this content, they were saying, think Knights of the Nine instead of Shivering Isles. But I wonder if maybe... obviously, I think the first two will be very Knights of the Nine. I'm wondering if the third one might be a little more substantial. Raising the level cap 10 levels is a bit of a thing.
Well, because you got to have shit to do there to raise that.
Now, don't get me wrong, if all you did was, like, run straight kind of through the game more the way Jeremy played, there's an enormous amount of shit for you to do.
Oh, yeah.
But for people like me, who have pretty much exhausted everything that would ever give you experience other than simply killing respawning bad guys, I don't know. You know, is there going to be 10 levels worth of content? I don't know. I don't care. I'm going to play it anyway. It doesn't matter. But, I really don't think Anchorage is going to be that big a deal. I think it's going to be great. I think it looks really cool. I don't think it's going to be a big deal.
Have you seen anything from the GEC? I haven't paid attention, but you probably would follow that.
Yeah, but it's not... The GEC releasing wasn't like a night and day change in terms of what was available for mods, because people had already pressed the old Elder Scrolls Construction Kit into service, and were already doing lots of mods. I think what happened is... people who are already working on big projects that still haven't come out have more tools, and the project itself will be a lot better, and certain things have become more efficient.
Yeah.
But it wasn't like one day there were no mods and the next day there were mods. It wasn't exactly like that. So I don't think I really want to rely on that game anymore for all my playtime.
Soon you won't have to.
No.
Very soon you will not have to.
Because I'm not really satisfied with the Lich King so much right now anymore. I don't know whether it's sort of a temporary problem I'm having with it or...
Have you reached the end game or...
How many times have you reached the end
game? No, man, I dumped all but one of my characters. I got, like, one guy on one account by himself. I dumped the rest of my stuff. And I was like, I'll just get to 80 with this guy, and that'll be my thing. And I just became so profoundly bored with what they were offering. And there was a state of affairs that had been... the defining state of affairs for how people cooperated, how things were done at level 70. And I sort of thought it was like this... It was this really sort of rotten, overworked kind of interaction. The way people, like, when a system does not change for a very long time, but more and more people begin to inhabit that system, and the rules for how the people act within it, you know, like, at that end game, kind of changes. Weird things like, you know, stuff that... if you wanted to be in a group to do the simplest thing in the world, like the easiest heroic or do a public run of Karazhan or something, people wanted you to be like unbelievably well equipped and well geared. Just because they didn't want to screw around. Like they didn't there was no appreciation for a person of a certain gear and experience level mm-hmm. appropriate to the content you were running. They didn't want that. Everybody wanted to blow everything out of the water all the time, in every case, always. There was, and to some degree now is, again, at level 80, an understanding that the only people you can ever hope to experience the game with at an appropriate pace,
I
guess, I don't know, that's however you want to define appropriate, are very close friends or very close acquaintances in a personal guild. But that's just, business is run in such a sloppy, strange way. And Blizzard has really deflated, I mean, like really, really just absolutely sucked all of the... Look, man, I would never have been the kind of person to harsh on any particular element of the game before, saying that it didn't require skill or this requires skill and this requires memorization and all this other stuff. There's never an argument I want to get involved in. Mm-hmm. But holy shit, dude, the fucking endgame, every last ounce of endgame content of Lich King was cleared within days of, like, the first people hitting 80. And that's just ridiculous. And I know it was done by the top guilds, but the feat was actually not that great. And I started hearing all this stuff, and I was like, well, so there really isn't any progression anymore. There really isn't any of that constant, and yes, pointless, but constant sort of clawing after gear and experiences, encounters, and all these memorable moments that there used to be. It's really easy to just wipe through it. And within weeks of the game coming out, we're back to sustainability, which is where we were in the last year of the previous expansion and the last year of Classic's life. You know, it's like, let's just sustain and run alts and, you know, complete our gear and stuff like that, not sort of push toward a progressive end.
Okay.
It was very deliberate, I think, but I don't necessarily think it was a bad thing. And it just sort of... And I was never a real big progression guy, but it just... It changed the tone of the game, and it's... I don't know that I can have fun there anymore. I need... And I kind of... Like, I wanted to see. I haven't had a chance again, feeling not so well. Like, I haven't really had a chance to tool around on the internet. But I'm at the point now where I'd kind of like to see what the state of affairs is in Warhammer. It's like... I had no interest in playing it before. I thought it was pretty good, but I was holding out for Lich King, and then I did my time in Lich King, and I'm like, yeah, I wonder how Warhammer's coming along. Like, I wonder if that's interesting, because I really rely on MMOs, whether I'm playing them a lot or a little. I kind of like that they're always there.
Mm-hmm. Why don't you check out Age of Conan?
I feel, yeah, that's not even funny. You can... Hey, fuck you, man. You did not spend $55 on that goddamn thing like 3 days before the entire community imploded. I built my goddamn computer, and I went out and I bought my copy of the
game. I came
game.
Over and you weren't installing the shit when I was checking
like,
it out.
And like right, like within 36 hours of like... All of, like, this cascade of horrifying patch material that they released, and this total realization by the community that the game was, you know, a festering asshole past level 20. And I was like, what the hell did I just walk into? What did I pay to walk into? God damn it. It's not worth it that I can just create a female tune and take her shirt off anymore. Like, I'm sure that would have been a wonderful amusement at some point in time, but, like... dude, everybody just vacated that shit really fast. I was like, God, what a really piece of... Like, what a shitty piece of timing on my part.
Yeah.
So, I just... At the moment, I feel kind of adrift, man. I always have an MMO sitting off in the corner somewhere. Like I said, whether that's all I'm playing or whether it's just, you know, an ace in the hole for when other stuff lets me down, I've always had it. And, like, I don't really feel very happy because... Everybody I ever played WoW with is, like, gone.
Well, you played Eve.
Giant diaspora.
And God knows there's plenty of people playing Eve.
You gotta... Yeah, but you gotta understand Eve, dude. You don't just go back to Eve. It's...
you don't just walk into Mortgage.
No, one does not simply re-up one's Eve account. I mean, you can do that if you want, but you want to talk about like a sense of a, like bone-crushing scale and being on like the wrong end of it. Like, you know, it's like you've been in a coma for 3 years and you're waking up and trying to figure out what the fuck has happened in your absence.
I mean, this
like,
guy's not president anymore?
Yeah.
What the hell?
Eve is like that, man. Eve really marches on and like shit changes and shit grows. And like, if you weren't playing, then you weren't leveling up and all this. Yeah, it's, game's not fucking around, dude. And it's not meant for casual assholes like me.
Yeah.
So I don't know what the hell to do, man. If anybody's got any ideas.
Well, it's not MMO.
You guys are playing War right now. Like, because I know there was a, like the community was really happy with that, and a lot of people dove that direction. But I don't know what anybody's doing. I don't know where anybody is. Yeah. I just...
Definitely give Sins a chance. It's not an MMO. I don't think it's an MMO, but, you know.
It's not anything like an MMO.
Still. It's something. And it's on your PC.
Yeah.
So...
No, I got plenty of stuff to play on the PC. I just... You know,
but you need that particular thing.
It's a very particular thing. I need, you know, a bogus persistent economy that I can fuck around with. You know,
a little off topic. I mean, we're talking about PCs. You didn't try the Windows 7 beta, did you?
No.
Okay, I didn't know. You hadn't said, and so I figured he probably didn't.
I don't need a Hitler background.
I know Jeremy has tried it, and so, and I just know that a lot of people are loving it so much better than what Vista did. So,
what it did when? I'm entirely serious in that, because by the time I got around to Vista, by the time Vista got Vista 64, did all my goddamn reading, I didn't try to put Vista on an old XP machine. I built a machine that was for Vista with like lots of RAM, great processor, all the blah 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 that you could possibly need. I got Vista 64, that was an entirely different issue. But it was after it had already been updated with Service Pack 1. Mm. So by the time I got around to it, Vista was like squared the fuck away. Like I am personally quite happy with Vista. Mm.
Most of the people I hear saying they like 7. Better, and they're talking about performance-wise on older machines.
Yeah.
Because it apparently 7 runs about as well as XP does on a gig of RAM, or as Vista.
Hey, great, man.
You know, yeah. Pretty bit on a gig of RAM.
But yeah, I mean, like, that was the thing. I came to an understanding about Vista long before I got within, you know, 100 yards of Vista.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, by the time I had a Vista machine sitting in front of me, I was completely... I was okay with it. And not only was I okay with it, but like within 2 weeks of having it, I was like, for what this is, which is like a very expensive glorified console for me, it's just another gaming device because I still compute on the Mac, like totally fine. I'm completely happy with it.
What I don't think I'll ever get over is that Windows 7 is actually version 6.1.
Yeah.
That's just the biggest joke in the world to me. I love it.
No, I haven't gone anywhere near it. I probably won't for a long time. I don't like to do that sort of thing. I'm not experimental where that sort of shit's concerned.
For all you Vista guys, 7 will probably be fine.
Yeah.
You know, it'll probably be the to Vista what XP was to 2000.
That's fine. I mean, I can do that, whatever, as long as I can keep doing what I'm doing.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. In the near future, I'm not sure what that means for my PC in the near future. I guess I need to find some more stuff to feed to it. There's a shitload of stuff coming out on the consoles. I mean, we dipped into it a second ago, but, like... I mean, X-Blades is coming out. Star Ocean? I don't know why. I mean, whatever. Who the fuck knows why I'm interested in anything, but, like... That looks really good. I can handle a couple of JRPGs a year, you know? So... That's as good a candidate as any, assuming at the ass end of the year I'll see Final Fantasy 13. It's a big assumption, but
yeah,
whatever. I'll just go ahead and do that right now.
Phantasy Star Zero's coming to the States. That's another one. Dawn of War 2 got a release date and got some details on the open beta that'll be coming for that.
Right.
So, you know, stuff to look forward to here.
Let's talk about the BioShock comments. Because that started to
spawn something
before we recorded.
Yeah, it was. Isn't that like the second coming of those comments? Hadn't they been mentioned somewhere before? I mean, the comment, of course, being that who was it? Who was it that made those comments? Because that's kind of important.
See. The old ones, I don't know. The new ones, it came from the 2K boss. There he is. Let me look real quick.
His comparison was to...
Christopher Hartman said Bioshock could have plenty of sequels, but but he promises the company won't cash in on the franchise.
Well, first off, stop using that. I want you to cash in on it. That's the whole fucking point, man, is to make something and be paid in it in cash. Like, don't feel like you have to avoid something that can be stated as a cliche. I don't give a shit. I'm smarter than that. Don't worry about it. Like, are you going to make more of them? And you're going to promise they're going to be good? Fine. We have an agreement. You deliver on your end, I'll deliver the cash. Mm-hmm. Call it whatever the hell you want.
Well, you're hoping to cash in on the first game, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
That's the reason you're making these sequels. Bioshock 2 isn't there because they want to continue that story. I mean...
It's not pro bono development work.
Yeah.
You're cashing in, man. That's perfectly fine. We came to an understanding about this about 20 years ago. It's all right. My disagreement is, or the thing that I was trying to disagree with earlier, I mean, maybe I'm splitting hairs or just, you know, it being a little bit too semantic, but he's talking about sequels, and I don't really think that's, I'm not even sure that Bioshock needs a sequel, much less like five sequels or four sequels for a total of five games or whatever it is he was trying to demonstrate was his opinion of how far the series could go. I'm kind of thinking more along the lines of like, well, I mean, sequels are hard, man. Sequels are tough. At this moment, every bit of angst surrounding Fallout 3, not every bit, because it's a weird buggy game and fine, some people have complaints about the operation and that's okay, but like, you want to find like some problems with Fallout 3, it essentially comes down to the three. It doesn't matter how good a game it is.
Mm-hmm.
None of it matters. It doesn't matter that...
The shadow that it has to lay in?
Yes.
Cast by its predecessors?
Yeah, but it's because that shadow is cast by an object in the distant past, the shadow is necessarily very thin.
Ah.
Like, it is narrowed down to this very... little thing where people expect it to be.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, well, it's, you know, it's got to be this. You know, it's got to feel like Fallout thing. And like, no, man, you're right. This is like, yes, if you want to say that you don't like it because it is not isometric, turn-based, all the things that Fallout was, that's cool. Personally, I'm very sad that we don't see that kind of game anymore. I thought that shit was great. I would love to see more things that... I mean, dude, if BioWare had introduced Dragon Age Origins, which is something that's like definitely on my super hot list of like things that are in giant neon lights to play, if they had introduced it and it looked like a gussied up Baldur's Gate with exactly the same type of art and everything like that, I would have completely shit myself. Like, out of happiness. Like, now they've ever done that at all, but first time.
Oh my God! Oh.
Like, I would have been totally happy. I don't see a problem with that. Somebody obviously believes somewhere that you can't sell games that look like that. You know, even if they're gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why. I would love to see another Baldur's Gate or Planescape Torment or something from that perspective. I thought there was a certain... You know, shit, man, like, if putting me in first person didn't have some very distinct emotional advantage, or at least some monopoly on my senses and my awareness, then nobody would have bothered with it in the first place. But it does. It's very particular. So if that is true, if it's true that the first person perspective, or you know, sort of a limited third person perspective, owns a particular slice of your emotional involvement with the game, or your sensory involvement at the very least, then the opposite must be true, that these other styles that we've abandoned also have a particular type of thing to them.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's very sad that we're not giving any credence to that whatsoever anymore. I mean, anywhere. You can find it in some places in console, but, dude, like, there is a certain... there is a very specific thing that I don't get to do much anymore, which is engaging story, engaging mechanics, terrific gameplay that is nonetheless sort of distilled to the point of me lounging in my computer chair and clicking shit with my mouse.
Yeah.
Like, that was very particular. And I'm sort of in agreement that at a Fallout 3 done in that style would have been superior. Regardless of that, my ass is not chapped over the fact that it's a first-person thing, you know, real-time, whatever. Like, I don't give a shit, whatever. It's a great game, and I've played it, and I don't want to get in the middle of that shit. But, Jesus fuck Christ, where did I come from on this?
Bioshock 2.
Bioshock. Thank you. My point is that direct sequels are a fucking problem. Because they do stupid shit like make you think Fallout 3 is a bad game because it has a 3 on it. And it takes place on the East Coast instead of the West Coast. Like, you kidding me? Like, these people have a giant 3 up their ass. And that's the only thing in the world they fucking care about. If it was like Fallout DC mm-hmm. or Fallout DC Chronicles or some horse shit like that, it would absolutely eliminate their ability to argue against it as a sequel. Like, it's... I don't think this dude is trying to be cynical or you know, create some weird semantic argument. I think that he's probably trying to avoid one at some level, but his instincts are wrong. I think the best thing they could possibly... There's no way they're going to make 5 goddamn games and stay true to what Bioshock was. There's no way in hell. I don't even think they're going to be able to do it in a sequel. So you're going to wind up with a lot of people's expectations just because you put a fucking 2 on it. So stop thinking about sequels and think about branded, you know, brand your game mm-hmm. as a Bioshock thing or an Asterisk Shock or a whatever Shock. Mm-hmm. It's essentially already that anyway for anybody who played System Shock 1 and 2.
Right.
Like, do whatever the hell you want.
It's not like they did with the Legacy of Kain series where it's like, oh, we're not, you know, this is not Legacy of Kain 3 or Legacy of Kain 2, whichever one Soul Reaver popped into.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it was actually, it was somewhat of a sequel to, I guess, was it Legacy
Blood,
of Kain?
No, it was Omen.
Blood Omen. That's right.
Blood Omen was the first game. Blood Omen, Legacy of Kain.
Right.
And then the second one was Legacy of Kain, Soul Reaver.
Right.
You know, they went ahead and just twisted that shit into a Gordian knot with the second fucking game. So, like, you had no room to run on the subsequent, 4 games uh-huh. that came after that point of, like, there was no point where you could say, well, you know, they jumped the shark here. And it's like, bitch, they jumped the shark before they ever started
skating. It was Blood Omen, like, Soul Reaver 2, Blood Omen 2, you know, and then Defiance, yeah.
But I just, dude, like, I mean, I don't care. You want to make 5 Bioshock games, that's okay. Or 5 Shock games. Or, like, I don't know exactly which way you're going. I don't even know to what degree he, that's why I was trying to figure out who exactly said it, is acutely aware of the fact that Bioshock itself is derivative as fuck. It's great, but it was all the right things coming together at the right time. It was lots of shit that had been done before.
Mm-hmm.
So if
Dead Space esque,
yeah, but very specifically, I mean, just, dude, very specifically, System Shock. The game was System
Of course,
Shock.
Yeah,
like in System Shock underwater on a console. That's it.
Yeah,
That's fine. It did a really good job. I'm not even trying to go to a weird place with this. I'm just saying, like, I'm sort of ready for there to be an understanding between the people who make games and people who play games that there's another way. Look, what was one of the big things? All right, here we are, firmly in the new year. Not to look back on the past year for awards or for anything like that again, but we have a more clear understanding of our behavior in the past year now, moving into January. Sales reports and refined numbers and everything begin to become very clear. So we know who made money, who's suffering because they did not make money, who's getting closed down, who's getting the boot, you know, who's pissed off about what. Apparently 1.5 million games sold for Lara Croft just ain't enough to fucking cut it anymore. Yeah.
Yeah.
So much so that they feel like they have to completely re-envision the character when it's like...
That didn't sound like a very good idea.
No.
I mean, if 1.5 million isn't good enough, if Lara Croft isn't pulling in the numbers, then maybe you don't need to look at Lara Croft anymore.
Well, they'll just give her short hair.
Lara Croft has a specific kind of baggage.
Yeah.
And if that's specifically the kind of baggage you're trying to ditch by reinventing the character and making her appeal toward women, maybe you just need a different IP. Maybe Tomb Raider isn't the one that's going to do it for you.
They'll give her short hair and a half-tucked-in shirt.
Yeah.
And maybe make her male.
Yeah, right?
Because that will appeal to your females.
Yeah, I don't know. But, like, anyway, yeah, not to get too sidetracked again, but we understand that we like sequels. We like stuff that we can identify with. I'm right. Beyond even being pissed about that. Like, if you can't figure out that a new IP is something you're interested in, then you're just not looking hard enough. Like... I thought I would hate it. I wound up loving it. But either way, I knew that I was going to look at Dead Space.
Mm-hmm.
Like, same thing with Mirror's Edge. I didn't know where I was going to come down, but goddammit, I was going to play that game.
Right.
So if you're not down with new IPs, then I don't think you're going to be down with new IPs.
You know what else was a new IP last year that we forgot from EA was the Skate series.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, and that was a very successful series. Well, I say a series. It was the first game.
It is
now
a successful series.
But that's what I'm saying. It was very successful for them, and it was also something new, you know? They didn't want to do the Tony Hawk thing.
Yeah.
And,
well, they wanted to beat Tony Hawk.
Exactly.
So let me see what you're getting. What you're getting at is you'd rather see follow-ups to games... Not necessarily follow up on the same story, but follow up on the gameplay and the
mechanics. That's obviously what they want to do.
Spiritual successors.
Yeah.
But to get rid of that shit.
Okay.
All right. What is Final Fantasy 13?
Don't be asking me about Final Fantasy.
No, what is it?
You.
I don't need him. I need you. Is it I mean, you're aware that there's fucking 13 of them.
There's more than that.
But it's not a sequel. You know damn well that it's not a sequel.
Exactly.
It's also not a spiritual successor, either.
There is no such bullshit language
necessary to describe what Final Fantasy is. Or anything that's numbered into the umpteenth, like that horse shit, where it's simply evolving the gameplay one iteration to the next.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying that, you know, BioShock needs to have, you know, a Cid or whatever. But, like, I think you could do worse.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I don't mean Sid directly, but, like, I think you could do much worse than by saying, what is it people actually really liked about the game? What are the things that we identify as, like, the strongest, most positive elements of the experience? And just do that. Quick, you know, and don't... I don't know. I'm beginning to think that, you know, the cascading... subtitles are a much more acceptable evil than sequel names because they confuse the issue, I think. And
I have to admit, one of the things that was great about BioShock was figuring out what the fuck was going on in this world.
Yeah.
It was, you know, it was its own particular thing, and exploring it and learning about it and how it got to be what it is was a lot of the fun.
Yeah, because you're
and
there, and you're
not,
like,
that is
"What the hell
not
happened at this party?"
To be part of a direct sequel
yeah.
or a prequel,
or a prequel
or
for that matter.
Yeah,
the world is to some degree demystified. You understand the breadth of like the scope of the world.
Exactly.
You understand what is possible
but
in this world, and there's
you,
no more discovery along those lines.
But if
lines.
You were to make a BioShock 2 or BioShock whatever, and create a new world. With its own new things for me to discover and figure out how and why we got to this point, then, yeah, you know.
Myst did that.
Yeah.
I can relate to it in that way. I mean, it still had the same gameplay, mm-hmm. but you were thrust into a completely different area, different world, you know.
Yeah.
That but may have been referenced early on, but still, there was different, and you had different characters you had to deal with, and it would take place in different time periods. But essentially, you were learning with each one. You were learning either the history or the future from that first game.
From the very first game, all other games were like, well, here's what happened after this, or here's what happened way before this.
And Final Fantasy is a series that does the other thing. You know, as soon as you get in, it's all strange new territory. What's going on? Let me figure this out.
It's not called 13 because it's a progression of the series.
Oh, right. God, no.
Yeah, it's just...
It couldn't be less a progression of the series.
Yeah.
They've only done that, strictly speaking...
They've done direct sequels to 7.
No, you're right. Yeah, so it's been more like 4 times. They did X2.
Yes.
Which was a direct sequel to 10.
Uh-huh.
They did... How did it break down with 7?
Let's see, there was Advent Children, which was a movie.
Yeah, so let's put that off to the side. Yeah. Let's ignore that. But there
Dirge
was,
of Cerberus, which was like a shooter, right?
But it was like some sort of, it was some sort of weird side. I've never been quite clear on how all of that worked, because I knew to steer well clear. I sort of understand Crisis Core to be worthy. So maybe that's more of a thing.
That's more of a Final Fantasy sequel.
Yeah, exactly. And 12...
Ooh,
this is weird. 12 it took place in...
11 was the MMO.
11 was the MMO. 12 took place... Yeah, this is what's funny. 11 was the MMO. 12 is the one that was built that it played like an MMO.
An MMO.
Yeah.
But it took place in the same world as Tactics Advance.
Yes, it did.
Yes.
So it was like, not a sequel, but it was like... happened in the same world, which is really fucking weird for a Final Fantasy game, you know. They're all supposed to be taking place in different universes. That's why they, you know, it's like that episode of Stargate where, you know, that one guy's still alive because, you know, the gate wormhole passed too close to a sun and everything got fucked up for, you know, 48 and a half minutes. Like, that's what it's supposed to be like. And, you know, obviously that would be ridiculous for Bioshock. I don't know. I feel somehow like a little bit shitty when something has a 2 on it now, and I don't know why. Maybe it's because I see how much people are willing to show their ass over a 3 at the end of Fallout. And it's like, not only is it just another game that's a fantastic game. Yes, if you don't like that style of game, I'm sorry. If Fallout 3 had been a collectible card game, I wouldn't have liked it regardless of how good it was. Because I don't like that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. I'm with you there, and I'm willing to give you time to complain about that. But not only was it just a fantastic game, it's also been, 12 years? Like, really? Yeah. You're going to bitch about continuity after this much time? Like, these are the things I don't understand. And I swear to you, it all comes down to that 3. That's the sticking point. I've even had the same kind of argument about... did the 3 belong at the end of Resident Evil 3 Nemesis?
Yeah.
Or Code Veronica?
Oh, God, yeah.
Because I firmly believe that it was stupid as hell to put a 3 at the end of Nemesis. It's taken place concurrent with 2. You know, it's clearly a fucking side story.
Yeah.
Get your head out of your ass.
Wrapped around it.
Capcom.
Started before, ended after.
The 3 goes at the end of Code Veronica.
Yeah.
Like, especially considering the fact that we're going back to Chris in 5. So, I am as much an idiot in this regard as everybody else.
Not near as much as I am.
Granted, it's been a while since that was a, you know.
Sure,
thing,
but
so.
It just seems really preposterous to be like, five. Yeah, we can do 5 of these. And it's like, man, I just don't even know what you're thinking anymore. And maybe more than anything, maybe more than the fact that he's looking for sequels and I'm trying to, you know, get to this point where I wish people would just give me more of the things I like, and sometimes this, I think the sequel's rotten. Maybe it's more about the fact that when somebody says that, that's obviously an insight into what they want the future to be.
Mm-hmm.
They're in control of something that we like very much. They have all the control over where it's going to go. And this is some sort of tell. This is some sort of, like, you know... tip of the cards, you know, and it's like so that we can read them just a little bit about like where they want the future of this kind of thing to go. And I'm just trying to figure out what that is. I'm trying to do a little bit of divination and maybe hope that that's not exactly what he means, because I want to see Bioshock 5. I don't. But, you know, something, I don't know, something completely different.
I'm sitting here, you know, looking at the statement, mulling it over. He says he thinks the series has the potential to span 06 parts like Star Wars did. I can't think, and maybe this is just me, like right now, but I can't think of another game that's built like BioShock, that kind of like action and heavy story kind of thing that's gone even, what, five sequels in?
Yeah, that would be a very long conversation trying to figure out what those were. It was a total fluke, of a brilliant fluke, that System Shock was able to spawn a sequel.
Yeah.
The whole, like, Shodan comes back and, like, has this whole nefarious plan kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, like, you versus Shodan versus Xerxes, like, kind of deal, versus the, you know, the snot grown on the outside of the ship. Like, the fact that that was able to sort of reach back to one and in that sense be a sequel, that's the only way it could have happened. And I don't see any sort of brilliant thread moving us from a thing like BioShock to a BioShock 2. I mean, who you are is who you are. The situation was what it was. And sort of each, you know, like the protagonist, the antagonist, the guy in the middle, the situation as a whole, the bystanders, like all of this stuff was, each one was directly related to the other. And there really was great resolution there. I don't see any good gameplay in a prequel. I don't see anything like that. And like Star Wars, I'm sorry, but I don't...
Compare it to a movie? Really?
Yeah, and I don't think you... Your world building is great, but it's not that extraordinary. Your world building still takes place in a world I'm familiar with. So, yeah, no, I think you're wrong. I think you'd be better off going in several different directions at once with different Shock games.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I would be more interested, because I think the basic framework of what that gameplay does and how that story is told is worth exploring in other.
I'd be interested in playing
realms.
A prequel where I am Ryan.
Yeah, but doing what? Like his conflict is well known before this point. Like he was, you know. I mean, he was fucking Citizen Kane all over the place. Like that's, I mean, but that's what he was. So that's charted. That's completely understood how he got to that point. It was you being who you are, how you were manipulated in that circumstance, and the mystery of this particular, like, you know, year of shit, and learning about that there's your game. And I like that it's done. I didn't like the ending, but I like that it's done. So, I don't know, that's it. I guess that's all I have to say on the matter. I don't really want him to be making sequels.
Well, okay, moving on then. New subject. Now that Fable 2 is patched, you going to try and...
Yes,
okay.
Absolutely. I was extremely happy to hear that. I was very happy to hear that Fallout was patched, because I know a number of people that have been having trouble on the console versions. and I'm really... People who've just like, I'm not playing it anymore.
Oh, Jeremy, it's got trophy support for PS3 if you want to go back and play it again.
Yeah.
I won't.
If you want to do a speed run and be a dick about everything, you know, you could do that. That would be fun. But yes, I'm extremely happy that Fable is patched.
Okay, very good.
Well, more so because initially they said that the patch that was going to deal with the very specific issue I had would not be retroactive.
Mm-hmm.
And the patch information I read a couple days ago said that it absolutely was retroactive. That's a big difference to me. If they'd come out with the patch sooner, but it didn't fix an existing problem, still a little bit tough for me. It still means a total...
It means you got to go through and play it again.
Total do-over for me. If what they say is correct, and if it actually fixes a problem that I'm stuck in, that's great.
I have to remind people who say that, well, the habit part is not very far into the game. Depends on how you play. I mean,
it depends entirely on how you
Jeremy
play.
Played Fallout 3 in like a weekend.
Yeah.
Because he just went through the main story and finished it. And it's like, well, shit. Now I have to play it all over again if I want to do those side quests. Well, same thing here. You took your time.
Yeah.
You know?
I did lots of side quests.
Yeah.
I hung out, you know, with all the other orbs that were playing it in the launch day. And like, did all that shit. It was like 9 hours of gameplay before I actually got to the edit.
Yeah, Becky just finished Fable 2. Not all that long ago, actually.
You gonna get her the DLC?
Well, which is the other part of that thing. Which is the, what is it?
Actually, when I say she finished it, she had actually finished the game proper a while back.
Right.
But she still had a bunch of side quests left that she wanted to do, and she just wrapped those up here recently.
Does that Not Whole Island is what it's
Not
called.
Whole. Bunghole Island.
Not Whole Island. And there's some stuff in there. So it comes out, what, this week? It's already out?
That's out.
It's out now, yeah.
Today.
So.
Oh, cool. She'll be happy to hear that.
Oh, yeah.
She was going to start a new character up and go evil this time, so.
Well, she's got other stuff to do. So I'm looking forward to getting back into that. I felt real bad that, you know, that I had such a shitty disposition toward it, but I couldn't think of what else to do. So, other than that, I mean, I am pretty excited for Killzone. It's probably got no reason to be, but I'm excited for that. There's a couple other things I'd like to play. I mean, I'd like to get my hands on some Street Fighter. I would like to play X-Blades. I'd like to think I could play Star Ocean, because, like I said, I can do a couple of JRPGs a year, but... I've got the guilt of Lost Odyssey hanging on back there, so I should probably deal with that instead. And I kind of find myself doing what I shouldn't do, which is counting down to March for Resident Evil.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm assuming that's a done deal for everybody.
Oh, God, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Totally. I'm checking over the news real quick to see if anything happened while we were still there, and nothing really has.
Oh, that's all right.
You mean another news site didn't melt down and get bought by somebody?
Not yet. I'm thinking about selling us to 7-Eleven and see if they'd like to buy us.
Official podcast to 7-Eleven.
Yes.
Hey, if I get a Slurpee out of it, then...
Well, you know, they started selling games now.
Yeah.
They need a show. And if they could pay us, we'll take it.
I'll sell out for a Slurpee. Yeah.
Slurpee and chili dogs.
Oh, yeah.
It's a big gulp.
A big gulp.
That's what it is there. But yeah, so that's what we got. I thought there was something else, and it always happens this way because we haven't really had a show proper in so very long that I'm bound to just kind of forget things about, you know, what took place and what happened over that long period of time. It always feels like a long period of time, but it kind of goes by pretty quick.
Yeah, we'll get back to it again later. I don't know. I really want to get some more stuff played. Like, that's really where my worry was. I just didn't play anything. I feel like less of a human for not having
done. Well, I urge you to play Prince of Persia just so we can get that off, so we can stop harassing you about it.
I gotta finish Gears. Jesus Christ.
I can do that with you in a night, man. All you gotta do is call me and be like, hey, I wanna play Gears. I'll be like, all right, let's go.
I'm stuck at that. I
you're the fish. Yeah, you're close.
I can't let stuff like that happen, dude. You have no idea. It really weighs on my soul when I don't finish things. Everything I never finished, I know where I am. And every now and then, at some random time of day, it'll bother me that I didn't finish, you know, something. Like, anything from some weird place a long time ago. Like, years back.
Yeah. Dude, I can jump in there with you. We can knock Gears out in no time.
On that stupid raft with the fish.
It doesn't take much at all. Co-op will knock it out. It's no problem.
I know. It's just a matter of doing it. Because I'll go home and I'll, like, turn on all the systems and everything. And then, like, you know, I'll basically sleepwalk my way into Fallout. Be like, well, here I am. I just better go find a bobblehead or something. or even worse, I'll sit down in front of Battlefield. And it's like, all right, I'm just going to play one round. Well, I'm actually going to play one round offense and then defense. One map. I'll play one map.
Well, okay.
I'll play two maps. I really like this map coming up, so I'll play two maps. Okay, I'll play till 9. All right, 10.
There was a little bit of... I don't know. There was a little bit of story details released for Uncharted.
Was there?
Yes, there was. I made a post about it in the gaming forums over at COG, because I was just, well, I was at work and there was nothing to do at that time. I read the interview. It was over at Edge, or Next Generation, whichever way you look at that. But anyway, they had talked with Amy Hennig from Naughty Dog.
Uh-huh.
About some story elements and what the focus was. It's apparently focused on Marco Polo.
Yes.
His voyages.
That's about the ships. That's what it's
yes.
about.
Yes.
I remembered because it's about ships.
Yes, it is. because it was about ships. He apparently on his trip back from Europe after, you know.
Back to Europe.
Yeah, back to Europe from hanging out with one of the cons. Another con. He went with like a bunch of ships, but when he came back, he only had like a few dozen men left and just very few ships, and he wouldn't say what happened.
Where'd
the ships go? And he wouldn't say what happened. Destination, he's looking for a stone that grants wishes that seems to have its location based at Shangri-La.
Okay.
So he goes to the Himalayas, apparently, and that's why all this snow is around and that sort of thing. Yeah. So this is what I do with games like this. I did it with the first one. I did it with this. I've done it with Tomb Raider. I did it with Argonauts. Anything that starts throwing legend history type stuff.
Mythology.
Some mythology. Sometimes it's mythology. Sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's just like legend has it. And so I look up this shit, because I just dive right into it.
Yeah, Shangri-La's mythology. I just want to let you know before you start looking things up. Yeah, no, you're not going to like find that or anything.
I don't know. It could be out there.
Well, legend has it.
Here's the other thing. I'm doing it today because, okay, now we're really getting off topic, but this was announced today.
Mysterious Cities of Gold.
Oh, nice. Man.
To be released on DVD, Mysterious Cities of Gold.
I loved that show.
Yes, along with, hang on. And scroll down to it.
What is that?
Along with Exo Squad.
Nice.
But anyway, Mysterious Series Gold. So I started going in there and reading about
somebody just needs to release, like, Mask.
And we'll be set, huh?
Yeah.
I still got some of my toys from that. And the...
those are good toys.
And the mountain. The gas station mountain thing. Yeah. Still got that.
Those were good toys.
But yeah,
hey, that reminds me though. That was the other thing I was trying to think about. You brought up Uncharted, and it apparently took Tomb Raider and Uncharted for me to remember this particular thread. The Indiana Jones game.
Yeah, not canceled.
Canceled, not canceled.
Well,
one like rumor and denial within 24 hours. Like that's always
You know,
I'll take it as being canceled until you start showing me something.
Which is totally funny, because, like, rumor says canceled. Like,
and LucasArts says,
rumor.
No, it's not canceled.
LucasArts says no, so our natural instinct is, that shit's canceled.
Oh, yeah. Because we haven't heard fucking word. Well, they say, okay, more information forthcoming. All right, fine. When it comes.
Where has it been?
That's what I'll believe you.
Saying that, last year.
Oh, yeah.
That's really sad, I really wanted to see that. I really wanted to play that. It looked fun.
Speaking of things like Exo Squad and Mask, it gave me an idea. It may be a bad idea. I don't know. It sounds like a great idea to me. But you know how much of, our childhood, like the late 20s to early 30-somethings, is being taken and revamped in Hollywood now and turned into movies.
Yeah.
Why the shit isn't that happening in video games? Why don't I have, G.I. Joe the video game? Or Transformers G1, the video game. Because I would absolutely buy that shit.
They'd fuck it up.
Yeah. He'd buy it, though.
He'd buy it. I don't know. They might. But see, the problem is, the Transformers movie, so they make a Transformers game. I know it's not based on G1, but what is it? G.I. Joe movie is, I think, this year. I bet you'll get
I'm
a G.I. Joe
that,
game.
You can get ahead of the curve there, and you don't have to wait for Hollywood to adapt it to the screen to then take their adaptation and adapt that to a game. There's lots of shit out there, old classic shit waiting to be adapted.
Yeah,
you know why you do have to wait for that?
Yeah. I think that they don't know that it would make money.
That's exactly. I was going to say that. The reason they have to wait for that is because that's the only time they can get their investors to dip some money their way to make that game. But damn it, it better be based off of what this is, because we know this is going to make money.
It's built in marketing.
Yeah, you know? And I hate when I start breaking down shit in that way. Because that's when it just crushes everything. I'm like, oh, fuck, I'm really not going to get what I want, ever. Because it's all based on, will this sell? And apparently...
Well, at some point, they're going to have to get smart enough not to use, other indicators as a crutch for what will sell. They're going to have to get ahead of the curve and see, hey, what can we go back and pull out?
Well, sooner or later, something's going to have to happen to make them think that.
Yeah.
Because at the moment, they think they're doing perfectly fine. They don't really see the alternative.
They're obviously not doing perfectly fine when you look at, how they're doing right now.
Well, no, but I'm saying they would counter by saying any alternative is worse.
Right, right.
And they might not be wrong. Mm-hmm. I don't want to say it again, but new IPs ain't doing anybody any favors right now. And if you're looking for risk assessment, even though something like Transformers has recognizable whatever, like... it might not if it's something very ancient. Mm-hmm. You know what
but,
I mean?
You know, the counter to that is Ghostbusters.
Ghostbusters is not a game right now. Ghostbusters is the promise of a game. Ghostbusters mm-hmm. is hype. We will see when Ghostbusters goes to retail but whether like, people put their money where their mouth is.
Somebody that has actually, you know, decided to go that route.
We'll see. My predictions are that... whatever. I mean, it's not a prediction. My suspicion is that it won't do very well.
You don't think so?
No. I think it'll be probably... even if it's very good, regardless of how good it is, it could be... I just don't think it'll do... I don't think it'll
do well
enough. I think
it will
do
very
enough.
Well regardless of how good it is.
Hmm.
We'll see.
I mean, I think it's a popular thing to think it's cool, but... again, like... when people really have to spend money on it... does the nostalgia actually translate into money?
Nostalgia,
that's my concern.
I don't think it's so much the nostalgia as the brand recognition. Because you look at the, you know, the shit that sells, you know, because it has some movie tie-in that manages to be profitable.
Yeah, but they're not tying into a movie. They're tying into the anniversary of a movie, and that is by definition nostalgia. So, and they're doing it in such a way that it is...
it's both, but...
laudably true mm-hmm. to the original stuff. Being written by the original guys. The whole point of this game is that it is very... the fidelity to the original stuff mm-hmm. is totally there. So I think that's what it's all about. So I think people are like, yeah, Ghostbusters, boy, don't those screenshots look fucking just like, yeah, you're playing the movie. That's really... well, no, I'm not going to buy it, you know. That's what I think is going to happen. I think that it's going to... I think that bitch will be number one on Gamefly. And like, number 18 on the NPD or some shit like that. I mean, that's probably being a little bit too dire. But that's what I think will happen. I think it'll do that. It'll be like... I think that's the best-case scenario for it. And I don't mean to be cynical on that. I just don't... kind of what you were saying earlier. It's like, well, you got to really... these guys are assholes.
Yeah.
For number crunching the way these things work. Like, assholes in, like, the completely unjustified... we're unjustified in saying that, because it's like... you're making rotten what could be brilliant and artistic, and we want, you know, great art out of all this stuff, but... damn it, man.
Numbers are hard to get around.
They really are, and it's... and I'm really not happy with that anymore, but it's the absolute truth. When we're talking about these budget titles, it's like... bitches buy sequels! I buy fucking sequels, evidently. Like, shit, we all do it. That's just how it works. I buy the good stuff, I buy the bad stuff, you know, in terms of, like, how you want to... not that it's bad stuff, but, like, you know, I'm buying original, I'm buying sequels. We buy sequels. We know how it works. We've given them enough opportunity. They're not wrong. These guys are not wrong in terms of what makes money. And they know what costs money. They know what makes money. I think it's really cool that you know, all the stuff that was previously dead is getting a rebirth, and there's a great chance that I'm actually going to spend money on Ghostbusters. Hopefully, like, when we get closer, it actually turns out to be, like, when the legitimate previews start coming down and people will kind of honestly tell us whether this is a good game or just nostalgia. But I just don't think it's going to work past people like us. I don't think it's going to sell that well. It's a little defeatist, but I kind of feel that way because it is not tied into a new film. It is not, you know, a reimagining. It is so true to what it was that I think it's almost going to be a museum piece, regardless of how appropriate the tech is at this point. You know what I mean?
I think that actually hurts him to say that.
It does. It does. I mean, I've even gotten over the fact that it doesn't have 4-player co-op.
Yeah, no, me too.
Because I realize that the demand for co-op at every level in every case is actually not that good. Because you have got to be like... you've got to have the right resources, the right property, the right backing that is open to certain forms of execution. All of these things. to really make something that is brilliant as either a single player or a co-op experience. One of the reasons I think Left 4 Dead was so perfect is that goddamn thing barely gave lip service to the idea of single player.
Right.
Like, it was there. But, like, instead of...
It was a co-op game from the ground.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And as much as I think something like Ghostbusters, like, it's...
As fun as it would be to...
Come on, man. There's,
bust ghosts with your buddies.
Come on, there's four guys. Yeah. There's four Ghostbusters. Four-player co-op is well understood. Like, you could even, like... You could even, like, bullshit some class balance in there where, like, one guy does the trap, you know, and, like, the other guys, like...
But it would be really hard to capture the comedy and the story aspect that they're trying to shoot for
it
from the original movie.
So I'm understanding of that. I'm like, okay, fine. I'll step away from that. It's cool. You give me some great sequences and some great moments that we can all talk about. Actually, I'll be perfectly fine. I'm beyond that. I actually am a little butt sore over Colonial Marines. Because, like...
I don't know what's going on with Colonial Marines.
Yeah, I don't either. But, like, I know the kind of stuff they're saying. And what they're saying is not conducive to...
Did I hear right that it's Left 4 Dead with aliens?
I think that's an extraordinarily optimistic view.
Is that what I heard?
I don't know that that's what you heard, but I think that's very much opposite of what
I
heard.
Sorry, is that what I read?
Is that one of those statements like it's like Rainbow Six with cars?
Yes. That was the Dukes of Hazzard game.
The Dukes of Hazzard game, yeah.
Yeah. No, what I'm hearing is that it is more about that they're very interested in the kind of tension building that you saw in the films, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And there was a lot of talk about how the individual squad members were going to work and that there were going to be things where... A lot of instances where certain squad members would, like, either over time or based on certain encounters, be excised from the group in one way or another, cut off or killed or injured and stuff like that. It sounded to me very much like this is a story-based game.
Uh-huh.
A natural fit for four-player co-op if we had chosen to build it that way, but we did not choose to build it that way. So, better fit there, I think, than Ghostbusters. Ghostbusters, I understand. It's like, okay, obviously the original guys want to get on board and write a fun story.
Mm-hmm.
Great. Colonial Marines, it's like, what the fuck? Like, you can give me just another bug hunt with three of my buddies, and you win. So, I don't know. Anyway, that's another topic for another time. Whatever it is, we should see it by, what do they say now, mid-year?
Q1 2009.
That's a lie and a half. That's a dirty, stinking lie.
That
man.
Still works into March, doesn't it?
That is a dirt, come on.
I don't know.
Come on.
Just saying.
Like, no. When somebody says Q1 2009 and you're in Q1 2009, it's not coming out in Q1 2009. I'm sorry, it's not. Like, Resident Evil's coming out in Q1 2009, but that shit's got a release date. So does Halo Wars. So does, you know, whatever the hell is coming out in March. So,
God of War 3.
God of War 3? It's like, no, I'm coming out in March.
That's
it?
March.
Is it?
Yeah.
That's weird.
It's March.
I'll sell some fucking systems. I'll piss a lot of people off. A lot of people out there are going to pay $500 to play that game. You laugh, but, like, I talk to people who are really pissed off that's not coming out on the PS2. Because the previous two came out on PC.
Right.
Like, they're pissed. But, you know, they'll be more pissed if they don't get to play it.
And so they'll do what they need to.
So they'll do what they need to do.
To play it. I picked up the newest Halo book.
Shit, I didn't realize it was out.
Cole Protocol?
Yeah.
Is the name of it. So I picked that up. And I'm reading that. Yeah. I'm actually enjoying it.
Yeah.
Something I'm excited about that's not focused on a fucking Spartan.
Yeah.
You know? This one's focused on keys. And Halo Wars is not focused on the Spartans. It's focused on that. Halo 3 ODST, I'm very excited for because, again, I'm not sitting there playing John 117, whatever.
Yeah. Man, they should totally have done to him what they did to Solid Snake.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Put him through the ringer?
Yeah. I mean, like, yeah. he's kind of been there anyway, but it wasn't dramatized very well.
Well, and you don't see his face. You know, yeah. You look at Snake, and it's like, God, gray hair, dude's getting old. You know, you'd see him walk through that shit and whatever, and you know, he never takes his helmet off.
I hope we see the true resolution of Master Chief, because they pussied out just as much on the resolution of Halo 3 as they did with Metal Gear Solid 4. Like the actual, let's fucking deal with this guy, and put an end to his shit.
Mm-hmm.
Because,
well, if you press the controller during the credits, yeah, then right. they did do that. They dealt with that shit. However, if you stayed, you realized, oh yeah, they didn't.
Well,
you can't. People, do you not have the fucking balls to just do it? Fucking do it.
I guess not. All right, whatever. We've been here for a minute, going on an hour and 45 right now.
That's fine. All right. Well, thanks for joining us, and we will do this again. I'm going to try and do a show later this week.
Try, yeah.
Come up with. We'll see. And
if not, we'll be back to whatever the hell it was we were doing before the holidays, before a couple shows a week.
Yes. We'll be back to our full self. So, anyway, if you want to get in touch with us, and some of you have, and we want to thank those who have written into us, we'll actually try to get to your letters. I know we had one response from somebody talking about the... why do people try to push their games to us in the holiday season sort of thing?
Yeah.
And he had a very good, he or she, I'm not sure, it was a unisex name, had a very, good background in that and said, here's the reasons that they do this. I work in marketing. This is why.
I believe there are reasons.
This is why. Oh, no, totally, totally.
In an accident.
And so, but if you want to get in touch with us, everyone at ingamechat.net.
Everyone at ingamechat.net. Come visit us on the Colony of Gamers forums.
Please, yeah, stop by. There.
It's a good place to back and forth about a lot of things. Let me know if anybody's playing Warhammer, if I should go play over there. I need something to do.
Yeah, and so that's it. We'll see you either later this week or next week. And good night.